Hello and welcome to Curiously Morbid, a podcast for the curiously mad people out there. My name's Dean Osgood and I'm joined by my co-host, Danielle Walren. This week you've joined us on our main case file episode, which is the curious case of the Watcher. Danielle, I'm very excited for this.
I'm very excited for this one. This one is a bit freaky, isn't it? I know it's not a Freaky Friday, but this would freak me out.
This could have been a Freaky Friday, and I learned about this from BuzzFeed and Soul. Shout out to them. Yes, boys.
Shout out to them.
Because they need a shout out from us. We need a shout out from them.
I know, yeah, please.
Please shout us out. But yeah, I absolutely love it, and it really, really scares me. What's your experience with The Watcher?
Also gone and done the whole BuzzFeed dark hole sort of thing, and then had a little look on Reddit about it and things like that, and it just seems, I don't know, it's a bizarre one, and I can't quite tell what I think of it myself, you know, like what my own theory is. I'm like, is it just this crazy weird person being strange, or like, was there an actual thing to it? I don't know. Was the family making it up, maybe? I don't know. There's lots of different, I don't know, and I don't really know where I sit with it. And normally I'm quite good at going, this is the theory I buy into, you know, like I'm being, like, you know, I'm good at picking a theory, but with this one I'm a bit like, oh, I don't quite know what to do.
So we'll come back to that thought at the end then, and let's see if we can convince you one way or the other, because our listeners out there who have never heard of Watcher probably haven't got a clue what you just said.
Yeah, they're like, what?
What? So, on the night of... Do you know when it's a big O? Little I read it as on.
Oh, that's okay.
One night in June 2014, Derek Broadenus. Are we saying Broadenus? Is that how we're saying this? Derek Broadenus, a third in an American accent, just finished an evening of painting at his new home in Westfield, New Jersey, when he went outside to check the mail. I find it a weird concept to go outside and check the mail in America.
Yeah, isn't that weird that they have a mailbox and you've got to like walk far towards to get it? It's strange. Because like, does that mean people walking past can just get your mail and steal it?
Yeah, and they've clearly got space, haven't they? Because like, there's no front gardens in this country.
I know, yeah. But I feel I'm very privileged to have a front garden, and like, I mention to everyone I have a front garden. I don't do anything with it, but it's
you've
there.
Got one, girl. That's a sign of a middle class person.
Oh, I mean, it's a tiny front garden, but I've got one nonetheless.
Girl, it's a front garden that's got grass. I've seen. I can attest to the front garden with the grass. Went outside to check the mail. Derek and his wife Maria had closed on it. When they say closed in America, that means they've just like exchanged contracts for our British people on a house. They closed on a 6-bedroom house at 657 Boulevard. I said that like an American, so 657
yeah,
rather than 657 Boulevard 3 days earlier. And they were doing some renovations before they moved in, so there wasn't much in the mail except a few bills and a white card shaped envelope. It was addressed in thick, chunky handwriting to the new owner, and the type note inside began warmly, "Dearest new neighbour at 657 Boulevard, allow me to welcome you to the neighbourhood." For the Broadenuses, buying 657 Boulevard had fulfilled a dream. Maria was raised in Westwood, and the house was only a few blocks from her childhood home, and Derek grew up working class in Maine, then moved his way up to the ladder to an insurance company in Manhattan to become a senior vice president. This is going to be us, girl, on this type of money.
Oh, this, yeah, I know. I want to do this.
We'll climb them ladders. So he got a salary large enough to be able to afford a £1.3 million house.
Oh, my God. So this house is, like, lit. Well, I suppose I should have guessed that from the fact that it's, like, 6 bedrooms. But this house is, like, lit.
Yeah, girl. 6 bedrooms. How did you not get that from the start?
Yeah.
As you say, how many bedrooms have you got? Three? Two?
Three. Yeah, just an average three.
An average freight. Girl, that's a middle class free in my books. The working class people around here have two. Two and a bit.
Two and a bit.
The Broaddusses had just bought it after Derek celebrated his 40th birthday, and the three kids were already debating which of the house's fireplaces Santa Claus would use. Well, the answer's quite clear there, isn't it?
Why what?
He would use one to come in, one to leave, and one to pray the presents down.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Why doesn't everyone have three fireplaces?
Because everyone is not a millionaire, Danny.
Again, that's another sign of how bomb this house must be. Three fireplaces. Who needs three fireplaces? I know that lots of very old houses will have multiple fireplaces. Like, for instance, my auntie owns like an old house. It's just a normal looking house, but it's old. And they've got fireplaces like in the bedrooms upstairs because they've like not, you know, like taken them out because they look nice.
Mine has. I've got four fireplaces in my house.
Get you, yeah. Living the high life. Four fireplaces
behind that bookshelf there. Behind that bookshelf, see the chimney press. Oh, yeah. Behind that bookshelf is a is like where the fireplace used to be, but it's just been like boxed off and bought off now.
Oh, see, I'm living in squalor. Really, I've got no fireplaces. I have zero.
Well, you know, I didn't want to show off, but my house is actually a full bedroom.
you're living an upper middle class dream. That's what you're living.
Soon to be royalty.
Practically four bedrooms, my word.
Well, you know, however, I'm pretty sure this debate will be void in a minute when we find out what this letter says.
Yeah.
So Derek kept reading a letter from his new neighbour. When you get this letter, you'd probably think it was just like a nice welcome to the neighbourhood.
Yeah.
But it took a turn. It took this massive turn.
Ooh.
So the letter goes on to say, "How did you end up here?" the writer asked. "Did 657 Boulevard call you to... Did 657 Boulevard call to you with its force within?" the letter went on. "657 Boulevard has been the subject of my family for decades now, and as it approaches its 110th birthday, I have been put in charge of watching and waiting for its second coming. My grandfather watched the house in the 1920s, and my father watched it in the 1960s. It is now my time. Do you know the history of the house? Do you know what lies within the walls of 657? Why are you here? I will find out." Oh.
Oh, my God. I'd be on the phone to the police straight away. That is so freaking creepy.
I had the weirdest letter ever.
That's just not okay. That'd be, oh no, 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 no. Don't like
to
it.
To be fair, this fella's set a stall out pretty good. Like, he's told you what he's there for. He's told you his reasons. He's just saying he's going to watch. He's told you it's in his lineage. You know what I mean? Like, seems pretty all right.
I mean, yeah, he has set out, you know, his intentions. He's got a clear purpose there, but it's still freaking weird. Like, don't do that to people.
Mm-hmm. However, right, are you ready? This letter goes on. So within the letter, it identified their, like, minivan. It was a Honda. And as well as the workers renovating the house, it goes on to read, "I see already that you have flooded 657 Boulevard with contractors so that you can destroy the house as it was supposed to be." The person wrote, "Tsk, tsk, tsk." I pronounced...
Like tut tut tut.
Tut tut. No, it's TSK. T-s-k. I'm using my phonics. T-s-k. That's not tut tut tut. That's t-s-k.
No, but I was thinking, is that the sort of noise that he was going for? I don't
right,
know.
I'll make them. No, tut is like.
I know, but as like it's hard to translate into a letter format, really, isn't it? Like, maybe you should have just not tried to make a noise at them.
Tut, tut,
it's
tut.
A bit strange.
Right, tut if you mean tut, not tsk. For those that can't see, you can see what I'm referring to. It's task without the A. So anyway, I've destroyed the tension like, that I was building there. Tsk, tsk, tsk. Ellipsis. Bad move. You don't want to make 657 Boulevard unhappy. So,
as if the house is like an actual person.
So in my head, right, this is the English teacher in me. I've gone, oh, fantastic use of onomatopoeia. An ellipsis, that's a exciting punctuation to use. Oh, and now we've gone straight into some font personification. Lovely.
Yeah. Yeah, if this was an English GCSE exam, they'd be balling. They'd be getting great
They
marks.
Are ticking these marks here, aren't they?
Yeah, they really are.
Varied sentences and all. Earlier in the week, Derek and Maria had gone to the house and chatted with their new neighbours while their children, who were 5, 8 and 10 years old, ran around the backyard and several kids from the neighbourhood. The letter writer seemed to have noticed. You have children. I have seen them. So far, I think there are 3 that I have counted. The anonymous correspondent wrote before asking if there were more on the way.
That's like another level when they bring the kids into it, isn't it? That's like, come on.
Yeah, you don't bring the kids into it. But also, I'd be quite intrigued to ask that because it's a 6-bedroom house. So, like, they've got room for 2 more kids.
Yeah, but maybe they want an office and a spare bedroom. That's all the bedrooms gone, baby.
Well, all right. Live in the middle class dream. So the letter goes on. Do you need to fill the house with the young blood I requested? Better for me. Was your old house too small for your growing family? Or was it greed to bring me your children? Once I know their names, I will call to them and draw them to me.
Oh. No. That's so not nice. Oh, that's
all right,
gross.
Pennywise.
That's gross. I know, that is so disgusting. Oh, no, I don't like that. Ugh. Oh,
that's
like
that's like you ring the police right now.
Oh, I would 100%. That would, if I hadn't already been sent over the edge and rung the police, that part there, I'd be like, right, call the police, we're moving, goodbye, let's leave. There's no way. There's absolutely, I wouldn't have the kids stay there. I'd be like, kids, you're staying at your nan's. I'm never speaking to you again until, honestly, I just, that would.
We're going into witness protection.
Yeah, no way. Oh.
But worth pointing out, they hadn't moved into the house at this point. They were only renovating it. So yeah. They were currently living in their old house. You'd never move in, would you?
No.
So, this article points out, and I would think this is quite obvious, the envelope had no return address. Imagine.
Yeah. Imagine, yes, if you could write back.
If undelivered, please return to 659 Boulevard.
Yeah. Like, just the next door neighbour.
Did that come across as a bit too strongly worded? I just meant if you could stop the kids playing out the door in my head. or like the neighbour coming out and being like, oh, sorry, that's Ron. He gets a bit carried away with his writing. Like
it.
Some apologetic wife or husband or person. Who am I? The person wrote. There are hundreds and hundreds of cars that drive past 657 Boulevard each day. Maybe I am one. Look at all the windows you can see from 657 Boulevard. Maybe I am in one. Look out of the many windows in 657 Boulevard at all the people who stroll past each day. Maybe I am one.
Oh, he's making them so paranoid because he probably isn't any of them. Oh.
Yeah. It could be me.
Oh, no, I don't like that. Because that's the thing, it would make you paranoid at all times, constantly, because you'd be thinking, oh my god, well yeah, it's that person going past. Anytime someone glanced at your house, you'd be like, it's them. Oh no, I can't deal with it.
You wouldn't be able
stress.
To settle in the household yet, and like someone walking up your like drive to deliver a parcel or something, you'd panic.
No, exactly. You'd never be able to settle. That would drive me insane. Oh, I hate it.
Do you know what'll drive you even more insane? Yeah. How this letter concluded.
How?
Right, so it concluded with a suggestion that this message would not be the last. Welcome, my friends, welcome. Let the party begin, followed by a signature typed in a cursive font. The Watcher.
Ooh, no, that's not a party I would like to be involved in.
This would make such a good film, though.
Yeah, it would, but I don't like that in the slightest. That's horrible.
Yeah, but if it happened to you, terrifying, but
yeah,
quite like, ooh, this would make a good film. It was after 10 p.m. and Derek was alone. He raced around the house, turning off lights so no one could see inside. Oh, that's the worst thing as well, if you haven't got blinds and curtains, that everyone can see inside if you've got the lights on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, just say, and when me and Jack moved in here, my fiancé,
oh, we've got a fiancé off the couch, dropping that card.
The first thing we did, because we had no blinds or curtains, literally on the day we moved in, we put up curtains in our bedroom and in our living room, because they'd be the two rooms, like, we'd be in, like, the most sort of thing. And then it was literally, like, we hadn't even been here a week and we got all the blinds put up straight away. It was, like, the first thing I wanted to do because, oh, that's horrible. Oh,
it's a must. It's a must. You need to cover them windows.
Yeah, it is. It's a must.
But do you know what? We're going to like Derek. And do you know why we're going to like Derek?
What does he do?
Do you know what he does after he turns all the lights off?
What?
He rings the Westfield Police Department.
Thank God for that. He's and not a stupid person.
The police officer is not named, but I like the police officer. Because the police officer's response was, he came to the house, he read the letter, and he literally said to Derek, "What the fuck is this?"
Sorry, am I employed at the police department? That just sounds like what I'd say. If my mate gave it to me, I'd be like, "What the fuck is that? What is that?"
Like, that is the most. And in American accent, "What the fuck is this?" Like, that is exactly the response. Yes, unnamed police officer. So he asked Derek if he had any enemies and recommended moving a piece of construction equipment from the back porch in case the watcher tried to toss it through a window.
Oh my God. Jesus. So
the watcher is also very strong. Or there might be lighter. When we said construction equipment, I immediately thought like a digger.
Oh my God.
So Derek rushed back to his wife and his kids who were living in their old home. Still in Westfield. Derek and Maria wrote an email to John and Andrew Woods, the couple who sold 657 to them, and asked if they had any idea who the watcher might be or why he or she had written. I asked the Woods to bring me young blood, and it looks like they listened. Ooh. So Andrew Woods replied the next morning. Imagine getting that email. Hiya, do you know that house you've just sold to us? What the fuck?
What the fuck? Yeah. What the fuck is this?
Andrea replied the next morning. A few days before moving out, the Woodses had also received a letter from the Watcher. The note had been odd. And she said that she made similar mention of the Watcher's family observing the house over time. But Andrea said she and her husband had never received anything like it in the 23 years in the house. And had throwing the letter away without much thought. Well, you would if you were moving out, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you'd be like, who cares? See you later.
So that day, the Woods just went with Maria to the police station, where Detective Leonard Lugo told her not to tell anyone about the letters, including her new neighbours, most of whom she'd never met, and all of them were now suspects. Clever Detective Lugo.
Yeah, don't be telling anyone about it. Well, yeah, because it could be anyone, couldn't it? It could be someone you've known for 20 years. It could be this new neighbour that you've just moved into. So don't tell anyone.
Don't say a thing. So the Broaders has spent the coming weeks on high alert, and Derek cancelled a work trip. And whenever Maria took their kids to the new house, she would yell their names if they wandered into a corner of the yard. Maria, bad move.
Yeah, we don't want him to know the names. I understand the logic of keeping them close to the house, but, like, we don't want the watcher to know the names.
Stop shouting their names about when he's literally just said to you, if I know the names.
She's like, she's like, Katrina! Get me out!
Chanel! Chanel! She's an African grey! She's got near the canal! to our listeners, if you haven't watched Chanel video, go and watch Chanel. So when Derek gave a tour of the renovation to a couple on the block, he froze when the wife said, "It'll be nice to have some young blood in the neighbourhood." The Broaders' general contractor arrived one morning to find a very heavy sign hammered into the front yard had been ripped out overnight. So it's not just stopping, is it?
No.
2 weeks after the letter arrived, Maria stopped by the house to look at some paint samples and check the mail. She recognised the thick black lettering in a card-shaped envelope. What's a card-shaped envelope?
I don't know what a card-shaped envelope is.
That is just mad. And called the police. Welcome again to your new home at 657 Boulevard, the watcher wrote. The workers have been busy, and I've been watching you unload carfuls of your personal belongings. The dumpster is a nice touch. Have they found what is in the walls yet? In time, they will. This time, the watcher had addressed Derek and Maria directly, misspelling their names as Mr. and Mrs. Broadus, spelt Braddus. Had the watcher been close enough to hear one of the Broadus' contractors addressing them? Well, probably not. Do you know what the watcher's probably done? Gone in your letterbox, which is on the front of your garden, that anyone can go into and have a look at your
but
name.
But surely it would have been spelt correctly.
Yeah, but he's not going to take it, is he? He's going to leave the letter there.
Just quickly look at it. Yeah.
Like, that's like me looking at your letter and going, oh, what's your name? Wildren. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And then it gets, like, mixed up in the head. Like, you know, when you try and recall it and remember. That's my theory, anyway. The watcher boasted of having learned a lot about the family in the preceding weeks, especially about their children. Well, of course he's learned about the children, because Maria's been shouting all the information. Do you know who Maria is?
Stop yelling the names.
Maria is one of them women on Facebook who are like, I'm going to tell you my mother's maiden name. I'm going to tell you the name of the first street I lived on. The first pet I ever had.
Yeah, all of it.
Do you know all of the security questions?
Yeah, all like, security questions. She is giving the deets.
And like the tagging their friends and being like, he isn't this funny to reminisce. Tag your friends and do it. That are clearly like set up just to mine your personal information that people would not know. The watcher boasted of having learned a lot about the family in the preceding weeks, especially about their children. The letter identified the Broadus' three children by birth order and by their nicknames. The ones Maria had been yelling, oh, surprise, surprise. I am pleased to know your names now and the name of the young blood you have brought to me. It said, you certainly say their names often. The letter asked about one child in particular, whom the writer had been seen using an easel inside an enclosed porch. Is she the artist in the family? He asked. The letter continued. 657 Boulevard is anxious for you to move in. It's been years and years since the young blood ruled the hallways of the house. Have you found all the secrets it holds yet? Will the young blood play in the basement? What a weird question.
That is creepy.
Or are they too afraid to go down there alone? I would be very afraid if I were them. It is far away from the rest of the house. If you were upstairs, you would never hear them scream.
Oh.
Will they sleep in the attic? Or will you all sleep on the second floor? Who has the bedrooms facing the street? I'll know as soon as you move in. It will help me know who is in which bedroom. Then I can plan better.
Oh, no.
Can I just say this? Like, if the watcher is 100% planning on doing something shady, giving away the game plan up front.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
But that might be, this might be like part of it. Like he likes to, or she likes to sort of torture, you know, like them beforehand, or this might be the actual game in total. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, this could be the game because they said let the game begin, essentially.
Yeah.
So the letter continues. All of the windows and doors in 657 Boulevard allow me to watch you and track you as you move through the house. Get some curtains. Who am I? I am the watcher, and I have been in control of 657 Boulevard for the better part of 2 decades now. The Woods family turned it over to you. It was their time to move on, and kindly sold it when I asked them to. I pass by many times a day. 657 Boulevard is my job, my life, and my obsession. And now you are too, Broder's family. Welcome to the product of your greed. Greed is what brought the past three families to 657. And now it has brought you to me. Happy moving in day. You know I will be watching.
Oh, I don't like that. Oh, he's a very good letter writer. He definitely gets across what he wants to, but it's really unpleasant.
But also, this Broder's family needs to use some common sense. Like, if someone's writing to you being like, I want to know the names of your kids, don't tell them the names of your kids.
I know, that's the thing. And it's like, well, why would you... They've had this letter, and they were obviously concerned enough to go to the police. Why would they take the kids there?
And also, like, literally, do you know what you'd do? You wouldn't tell a single soul and you'd just put the house back on the market.
That's what I'd... Yeah, no way. No way. And then this second letter now, if that wasn't already the plan, that would 100% be the new plan.
One letter. Maybe. Two letters. No. So Westfield is 45 minutes from New York and is a bit too slow for single people, meaning that most of the town's 30,000 residents are largely well-to-do families. In the year 2014, when the Watcher struck, the website Neighbourhood Scout named it the country's 30th safest town. The 30th safest town, and it got the Watcher. How mad is that? One activity all locals recognise as treacherous is buying a house there. So there's a lot of money and a lot of ego that goes into it, one resident, who requested to be anonymous before discussing the Westfield real estate. Told me, I've seen bidding wars where friends lost by $300,000.
Oh my god.
The Broder's house was on the boulevard, a wide tree-lined street, so it's very competitive to live in this area, yeah, with some of the more desirable homes in town. As the Watcher noticed, the boulevard had been their street to live on.
This is where the elite people live. Like, this is the shit.
Well, girl, the house was built in 1905, and it was perhaps the grandest home on that whole block. And when the Woodses is put on the market, they receive multiple offers for above the asking price.
Oh my god.
So that led the Broder's family to initially suspect that the Watcher might be someone that was upset on losing out of the house.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But the Woodses said one interested buyer had backed out after a bad medical diagnosis, while another had already found a different home. So in an email to the Broder's, Andrea Woods proposed another theory. Would the mention of the contractor trucks and your children that might put someone in the neighbourhood off? So the fact they've got work going on and kids moving in on this, like, well-off street might want people to scare you off. That's a good theory.
Maybe.
So the letters did indicate some kind of proximity to them, didn't they?
Yeah.
So when they looked at, like, the stamps and stuff, they had been processed in Kearney and the US Postal Services Distribution Centre in New Jersey.
So it's local.
Very, very local. The first was postmarked June 4th, before the sale was public.
Oh?
So, that was the first letter to the Woodses, the first letter that they'd had a couple of weeks before moving out. So, whoever it was knew it was going up before the sign went up. When Derek and Maria walked Detective Lugo around the house, they showed him that easel on the porch was hidden from the street by vegetation, making it difficult to see unless someone was behind the house or right next door. Oh, it could be the next door neighbours. This is like a proper, like, whodunit, isn't it?
Yeah, it's creepy.
So a few days after the first letter, Maria and Derek went to a barbecue across the street, welcoming them and another new homeowner to the block. This sounds a bit like Stepford Housewives.
Yes, it is. It does sound like that, doesn't it?
So the Broderses hadn't told anyone about the Watcher because the police had instructed them to do so, and found themselves scanning the party for clues whilst keeping their tabs on the kids. Literally something out of Desperate Housewives.
This literally, it really is.
We kept screaming at them to stay close. Maria said people must have thought we were absolutely crazy. At one point, Derek was chatting with John Schmidt, who lived two doors down. When Schmidt told him about the Langfords who lived between them, Peggy Langford was in her 90s and several of her adult children, all of them in their 60s, lived with her. The family was a bit odd, Schmidt said, but harmless. He described one of the younger Langfords, Michael, who didn't work and had a beard like Ernest Hemingway, as a kind of Boo Radley character.
Oh, that's great. So they've got a Boo Radley kind of person on their road. Wonder who's going to be a suspect.
Boo Radley to Kill a Mockingbird.
Yes. Yeah, like scary man on the street.
Did I get that reference? Yes, yes. Dean. Look at me with your literacy reference. Yes, I am educated. I am educated. Woo, woo, woo. So Derek thought the case was solved, and the Langford house was right next door to the easel on the porch. The family had lived there since the 1960s, when the watcher's father, the letter said, had begun observing the house. So Richard Langford, the family patriarch, had died 12 years earlier, and the current watcher claimed that he'd been on the job for the better part of 2 decades. So...
Oh! Connection.
Fallen into place. But 12 years is not the better part of 2 decades.
No, it's not. That's true.
It's a decade and a bit.
Unless he took over from his dad while his dad was alive.
Yeah, while his dad was ill. So when the Broaduses told Lugo, the policeman, about the family, he said he already knew. And a week after the first letter arrived, he brought Michael to police headquarters for an interview. Michael denied knowing anything about the letters, but the Broaduses say that Lugo told them that the narrative of what he said matched things mentioned in the letters. This isn't CSI Westford, Lugo later told the Broaduses. When the wife is dead, it's the husband.
Oh, so he's basically saying, like, it's always the obvious answer.
Yeah. It's not like...
Right.
But in this case, I don't think it is. But there wasn't any hard evidence, and after a few weeks, the police chief told the Broaduses that, short of an admission, there wasn't much they could do. This is someone who's threatened my kids, and the police are saying, probably nothing's going to happen, Derek said. Probably isn't good enough for me. After the second letter, Derek told the cops that if they didn't take care of the situation, they would have a different kind of case on their hands. Oh, this is a middle-class privileged person. Trying
to
bring the
is.
Law into it, like, do you know what I mean? That reeks of white privilege.
Yeah, it really does.
Trying to threaten the police. So the person attacked my family and where I'm from. If you do that, you get your ass beat, Derek told me.
Frustrated, the Broadusers began their own investigation. Derek became especially obsessed. He set up webcams in 657 Boulevard and spent nights crouched in the dark watching to see if anyone was watching the house at close range. Maria thought I was crazy, he told me. He had loads of copies of the letters, documents, things like that. He really took this case into his own hands and was like trying to basically find it. And he only shared this with information with like a few friends and a few family members, because I think he just thought, like, if the police weren't going to do anything, he was just going to have to do it himself. And he even had like a map of all the neighbors and when they'd moved in and things like that. And he said the Langfords were the only ones who were there since the 1960s, with sort of overlays during that time as well. And they were always in earshot to hear names. They had the sight to see the easel in that porch when the daughter obviously was painting. So it kind of seemed like they were the ones that fitted that criteria that they were looking for. So as far as Derek's concerned, I think he thinks it's this Michael Langford person.
He's sus, as the kids would say.
Yeah, very sus, very sus. They even went as far to employ a private investigator as well, who actually stalked out the neighbourhood and ran background checks on the Langfords, but he didn't find anything noteworthy. Derek even reached out to a former FBI agent who'd served as inspiration for Clarice Starling in that, you know, that small film, The Silence of the Lambs. And they were on the school...
No, we can't skip past that.
Go on,
we can't skip past that. What's her name?
Clarice Starling?
Clarice? How did you get that wrong?
I don't know.
What is it?
I feel like I knew it was Clarice.
Hello, Clarice.
Hello, Clarice. Yeah, hello, yeah, it's Clarice. Oh, yeah. Whatever. Anyway, okay. Clarice Starling.
I couldn't let that go, sorry.
It's all right, don't worry. So, obviously, this is a pretty, like, prominent FBI agent, seen as that film's, like, based on her character. And also, this family must be quite well-connected, because apparently that FBI agent was on the board of trustees, like a school board of trustees with them. So they definitely are living a middle-class fantasy, aren't they? Like,
upper middle class. Yeah, he's the president.
Upper middle class. Yeah, upper middle class. Lower high class, maybe. They are.
Getting down to it. That'd be us soon. Yeah.
They also hired another FBI agent who was conducting a threat assessment for them, and he was called Robert Lehan. And he recognised several old-fashioned ticks in the letters that pointed to an older writer. So, obviously, an older person like Michael Lamford. But basically, he said, because the letters were addressed to an M/M Braddis, the salutations included things like the day's weather being warm and humid, or sunny and cool for a summer day. The sentences had double spaces between them. This made it seem like it was like an older reader, because that's basically like what the sort of things they'd write about, you know, like in letters in the past, like they'd mention the weather and stuff like that. And I thought, yeah, that kind of makes sense, because that's not really, I would not, well, obviously letter writing's not really a thing so much anymore now, is it? But
it was an art form.
So the FBI agent didn't think the Watcher was likely to act on the threats. The letters had enough typos and errors to imply a certain erraticism, like erratic behaviour. The first letter, for instance, was dated Tuesday, June the 4th, but that day was a Wednesday, so obviously it wasn't the correct day. And there was also a part where it said seething anger, and that was directed at the wealthy in particular. So was the Watcher upset by new money moving into town? It also said something like, are you one of those Hoboken transplants who are ruining Westfield? So there is some anger there and some resentment, but overall, Leon didn't think that they were going to
And what's wrong with Hoboken?
What?
What's wrong with Hoboken? That's where Cake Boss is from.
Oh, is it? I did not know that.
Cake Boss!
So another extract from the letter says, the house is crying from all the pain it is going through. You have changed it and made it so fancy. You are stealing its history. It cries for the past and what it used to be in a time when I roamed its halls. The 1960s were a good time for 657 Boulevard, when I ran from room to room imagining the life of with the rich occupants there. The house was full of life and young blood. Then it got old, and so did my father. But he kept watching it until the day he died. And now I watch and wait for the day when the young blood will be mine again. Yeah, Leon recommended looking into former housekeepers or their descendants. Perhaps the Watcher was jealous that the Broadduses had bought a home that the writer simply couldn't afford. That makes sense, because maybe it was a housekeeper's child and they'd had to bring the child to work with them. And this kid just was like, just loved the house, you know, because it was so different or something.
Seems a stretch.
Yeah, I know, but just based off that extract, I can kind of see what that FBI agent was getting at.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Noted.
I'll buy you.
But the focus did remain on the Langfords. In cooperation with the Westfield Police, the Broadduses sent a letter to the Langfords announcing plans to tear down the house, hoping to prompt a response. Nothing happened, however. Detective Lugo brought Michael Langford in for a second interview, but got nowhere, and his sister Abby accused the police of harassing their family. Eventually, the Broadduses hired Lee Levitt, a lawyer, who met with several members of the Langford family, as well as their attorney, to show them the letters, along with photos explaining how their home was one of the few vantage points from which the easel could be seen. The meeting grew tense, and the Langfords insisted Michael was innocent. One night, Derek had a dream in which he confronted Peggy, who was the eldest Langford, and demanded that she build an 8-foot fence between the properties. Maria was having other kinds of dreams. One night, she woke up to an especially vivid one about a man who lived nearby. He was wearing boots and carrying a pitchfork and calling the kids, and I couldn't get to them in time, Maria said. She thought almost anyone could be the Watcher, which made daily life feel like navigating a labyrinth of threats. She looked through the faces of shoppers at local places to see if they looked strangely at her or her kids, and spent hours Googling people who might have seemed suspicious to her. So that kind of plays into that thing of what I said, like maybe this person just gets off on the fact that they're so paranoid. Because that's the fun of it. She's literally saying she can't live her daily normal life because she's so paranoid.
Oh, girl, we've all been there.
We've all been there.
So there were reasons to consider other subjects. For one thing, the police spoke to Michael before the second letter was sent, which would make sending two more especially reckless. So the Broadges say that Lugo told them that they wouldn't receive any more letters after they spoke to Michael. Then there was the rest of the neighbourhood to consider. So the private investigator found that there were two child sex offenders within a few blocks. Bill Woodward, the Broadges' house painter, had also noticed something strange. The couple behind 657 Boulevard kept a pair of lawn chairs strangely close to the Broadges' property. One day I was looking out the window and saw the older guy sitting in one of the chairs, Woodward told me. He wasn't facing his house, he was facing the Broadges'.
That is weird. I'd be like, move your chair the hell away from our side of the fence.
Turn your chair around.
Yeah, that is weird. That's very strange.
But by the end of 2014, the investigation had stalled, and the watcher had left no digital trail, no fingerprints, and no way to place someone at the scene of a crime that could have been hatched from pretty much any mailbox in the northern New Jersey. The letters could be read closely for possible clues or dismissed as nonsensical ramblings of a sociopath. It was like trying to find a needle in a haystack, said Scott Crouris, who helped investigate the case for the Union County's prosecutor's office. In December, the Westfield police told the Broadges they had run out of options, and Derek showed the letters to his priest, who agreed to bless the house. What's that?
I was going to say, what? Do they think a ghost is writing the letters? What the fuck?
Right, bless the house, but I'm pretty sure you should just get some cameras.
Yeah, the priest's like, I mean, sure, I guess I can do it, but...
Well, yeah.
That'd be £100, thank you.
That'd be me. Yeah, I'll come and bless it for you. Give some sage. Part of the renovations, though, were actually a new alarm system, and that was finished within a few months. But the idea of moving in filled the Broadges with overwhelming anxiety. Could they let the kids play outside or even have friends over? Would they get a new letter every single week? Derek priced out trained German shepherds and posted a job on a website for military veterans. All you have to do is work out in the backyard every day.
What a great job.
Like some big muscle man. Man to work out so his legs are set the right way. But the Broadges hadn't bought 657 to feel bunkered in a fortress. At the end of the day, it came down to, what are you willing to risk, Maria told me. We weren't going to put your kids in harm's way. Derek had been responding to occasional alarms at the house, sometimes in the middle of the night, bringing a knife with him just in case. Oh, you'd send the police,
yeah,
wouldn't
you? Send the police, not they yourself.
They were so joyous about the new home, and within a few days, they were petrified. Bill Woodward, the painter, said, I'm a stranger, and Maria was crying and shaking in my arms. Oh my God, Bill Woodward, the watcher,
isn't
he?
Oh my God, could you imagine he's sitting there like,
I am the watcher. It didn't help that the watcher seemed to be getting more and more unhinged. 657 Boulevard is turning on me. It is coming after me. I don't understand why. What spell did you cast on it? It used to be my friend and now it's my enemy. I am in charge of 657 Boulevard. It's not in charge of me. I will fend off bad things and wait for it to become good again. It will not punish me. I will rise again. I will be patient and wait for this to pass and for you to bring your young blood back to me. 657 Boulevard needs young blood. It needs you. Come back. Let the young blood play again. Like once before. Let the young blood sleep in 657 Boulevard. Stop changing it and leave it alone.
Well, stop sending creepy bloody letters then and maybe they would move in.
Yeah, if you're really passionate about it, you wouldn't write the letters.
Yeah, exactly. And now he's thinking, oh, surely... crap, I peaked too soon and I've sent them away. What am I going to have to do to try and get them to come back?
He's overplayed the
hand.
Yeah,
definitely.
So, the Broadges had sold their own home, so they moved in with Maria's parents while continuing to pay the mortgage and property taxes on 657 Boulevard. I had to do things like shovel the driveway, Derek said. Just picture that indignity. I'd go at 5 in the morning, then come back and do it again at my in-laws. They told only a handful of friends about the letters, which left others to ask why they weren't moving in. Legal issues, they said, and wonder if they were getting divorced. They fought constantly and started taking medication to fall asleep. I was a depressed wreck, Derek said. Maria decided to see a therapist after a routine doctor's visit that began with the question, how are you? Caused her to burst into tears. The therapist said that she was suffering post-traumatic stress that wouldn't go away until they got rid of the house. 6 months after the letters arrived, the Borderses decided to sell 657 Boulevard. They initially listed it for more than they paid to reflect the renovations they had done. But few worlds are more gossipy than the suburban New Jersey real estate, and rumours had already begun to swirl about why the house was sat empty. One broker emailed his client loved it, but that there were so many unsubstantiated rumours flying around, ranging from sexual predators to stalkers, that they needed to know more. The Broderses sent a partial disclosure mentioned in the letters to interested buyers and told Coldwell Banker, their realtor, that they intended to show the full letters to anyone whose offer was accepted. Several preliminary bids came in, well below the asking price, but the Broderses weren't ready to take such a financial hit and only wanted to share the letters with likely buyers. No one got that far, even after they lowered the price. A Coldwell agent, who hadn't read the letters, told them in an email that they were being unnecessarily forthcoming. My friend got horrible threatening letters about her dog and barking, and she didn't disclose that. But the Broderses insisted, I don't know how you live through what we did and think you could do it to somebody else, Derek said.
Oh, well, that's good of them.
Derek and Maria.
That's really good of them.
There they are. I think. So, something's stirring inside of me to remember that they looked into legal action against the Woodses, though, you
oh,
know.
Oh, really? Because they
not
didn't
disclosing
disclose
the letter.
It, yeah. Derek and Maria thought about what they would have done had the previous owners told them about their letter from the Watcher. The Woodses, both retired scientists, told the Borderses that they remembered the letter they received as more strange than threatening, thanking them for taking care of the house. They say they never had any issues. We certainly never felt watched, Andrea told them. They rarely even locked the doors. Oh, now you see, maybe this watcher liked that, because he could probably just go in whenever he wanted to and stuff like that and oh no, I don't like it. And then obviously he's annoyed
it.
Now because this alarm is going off and Derek's got to go around there. So obviously the watcher's still trying to get in. Do you know what I mean? Oh,
yeah.
And he can't, which is why he feels like the house is falling out with him. Oh no, don't like this at all. But the Broderses felt the name alone was ominous enough to merit mentioning to a new family moving in. And on June 2nd, 2015, a year after buying 657 Boulevard, they filed a legal complaint against the Woodses, arguing that the Woodses should have disclosed the letter just as they had the fact the water sometimes got in the basement. The Broderses say they hoped to reach a quiet settlement. Their kids still didn't know about the Watcher, and their lawyer assured them that at most a small legal news wire might pick up the story. However, despite them thinking that this was just going to be a little small town thing, the Watcher's menacing threats actually attracted a lot of reporters, and the story went viral. News trucks camped outside of 657 Boulevard, and one local reporter set up a lawn chair to conduct his own watch. The Broderses got more than 300 media requests, but with advice from a crisis management consultant, they decided not to speak publicly and spare their kids even more attention. They vacated Westfield and went to a friend's beach house. They didn't find much peace there, and unfortunately Maria's grandfather had had a heart attack, and the friend they were staying at actually had a seizure, so they had a really bad run of it, really, in 2015. Eventually, Derek and Maria sat down with their children to explain the real reason they hadn't moved into their home. And of course, the kids had lots of questions about this, and obviously the kids were only 5, 8 and 10, so of course that must be really, really confusing with them.
It's kind of got a bit stagnant, and the Broderses has just decided to try and get rid of the house. Okay. And no one would buy it. People offered way under the asking price and they couldn't afford to take the financial hit. So are you ready for this, Danny?
Go on.
They decided to submit plans to knock it down.
Oh, so they actually did. Oh my God.
Well, they haven't yet. Wait for it.
Nope.
So, they submitted plans for it to be knocked down and for two new houses to be built on the site, because they thought if the house is gone, there's press speculations gone about it, easier for them to get on with their lives, isn't it? And they can sell them and get back enough money. Because it was a fairly big housing plot.
Yeah.
However, so we talked before how it was a fairly suburban, very middle class area, and there was actually rules on the boulevard.
Oh.
You had on sizes of houses.
Okay.
So your house had to be a minimum width.
Right.
Or a minimum size. The plans for these two houses that they wanted to build on the plot of this house were a couple of metres short.
Oh.
So the neighbourhood committee had to meet to see if they would approve it. And guess what the neighbours did?
They didn't approve it.
They didn't approve it.
Oh my God! That is evil. That's so mean.
So imagine, like, you know what your neighbours have gone through. You know the hassle. And you can see, like, they're stuck with this house. They're paying a mortgage on it. They can't even live in it. And you can see, like, they can't sell it. This is a way out for them to get a contractor to come in and build two new houses on the plot. Which probably would have been good. But because it was too small, not even too big, too small, they wouldn't have it.
Oh, that is so rude. That is so rude. Oh, my God.
So then what? Unless the watcher was someone very influential on the committee, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe they knew who the watcher was. Or maybe they were fuming that all this had, like, come up and put their, like, little town under, you know, the spotlight sort of thing.
Yeah, and it's, like really upset their community, really, hasn't it? Because they lived a perfect little life.
Apparently, a lot of people thought that the whole thing was a hoax, though, so a lot of them wouldn't take it seriously.
Yes.
Yeah.
Go on.
Yeah, because the priest, Father Michael Sapito, who had blessed the house, actually went to one of these planning board meetings, and he was taken aback by how many people came up to him and said they thought it was just a hoax. So that could definitely be a big reason for it.
So there's a theory that we haven't discussed yet.
Go on.
A theory, sorry. So the theory goes that they suffered buyer's remorse and realised they actually couldn't afford the house.
Oh.
And they came up with this scheme to try and get out of the sale.
Oh.
Yeah. So two of the things here is they were trying to get out of the sale, or that Derek was trying to cook up some kind of insurance fraud thing. I don't know how that would even work. Or the one I think is that they were trying to get a movie deal. So the Broaduses did receive several offers and turn them down. Lifetime, we love a good Lifetime movie, eventually released a movie called The Watcher, despite a cease and desist letter from the Broaduses.
I love that.
Arguing that the couple in its movie was biracial and the letters were signed The Raven.
The Raven! I love that. I love it. Oh my God.
So some people, like, right, this is evidence supporting this theory. So some people thought it was weird that how they had upgraded from their houses over the years.
Right.
So they'd upgraded from a £315,000 house, then to a £770,000 house. When I say pound, you know what I mean, dollar.
Yeah.
Then to a £1.3 million house, and had refinanced their mortgages. So a couple of weeks after the letters became public, the Westfield newspaper published an article in which anonymous neighbours were quoted asking why the Broadusses kept renovating the home after they knew they weren't going to move into it.
Right.
And question, why were they renovating it at all?
Yes.
So, the article even cast doubt on Maria's commitment to the family's safety, citing evidence the fact that she had a public Facebook page with a photo of her kids. The paper did note that the police had tested Maria's DNA and it didn't match the letters.
Ah, right, okay. Well, there you go.
So none of the theories, though, made really a lot of logical sense, and the Broaduses would manage to answer every question. So Derek said, when he got asked the question, how does someone go from a 300,000 house to a 1.3 million house? And Derek's response was, it's America. But they weren't speaking publicly and the rumours persisted.
Yeah.
One resident wrote a letter to the editor arguing it's an elaborate scheme to An elaborate scheme is underway to defraud the Woods family for millions of dollars. So they were trying to, like, sue the Woods family for, like, to... Because they think, like... I think they thought, because they didn't disclose it, they could, like, get compensation. You know what America's like with these
yeah.
court cases?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They can get awful.
And people are saying, like, if the letters had been happening for a while before this family moved in, there's no doubt that it would have been made public.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, God, yeah. They're always made public, aren't they?
So the community really outcast them from the street and outcast them from the house. Oh, what a way to move into a house.
That's so sad.
So this is where we're up to. In the spring of 2016, they put 657 back on the market, hoping it might get some more interest, as many people had reacted to the letters after it all went public. The Broaddus's had a well-attended open house, after which Derek and Maria spent hours researching every person who signed it and comparing their handwriting to the watches. Oh, they're well invested in this, aren't they? The watches, but each time a potential buyer expressed interest and met with the Broaddus's lawyer to read the letters, they backed out. Some cocky guy from Staten Island said, "Fuck it, I'm going to get a house at a discount," Derek recalled. He reads the letters, and then we would never, ever hear back from him again. So that is when I told you they were going to make the two small houses. Yeah. After we've had all this thing, it's been on the market, the planning's been rejected. A couple of weeks after that, Derek went back to the house to deal with some squirrels that had taken up residence in the roof. Oh, I've left a big part out of the story.
What?
So they rented it out.
Right.
So after the planning board refused it, they got someone to rent it. A family with big children and big dogs.
Oh, nice.
So after their... let me say this again. So after they couldn't sell it, and after the planning board had refused it, they decided to rent it out. And they picked a family that had grown children and two big dogs. And the family agreed to rent it. And the family wasn't worried about the watcher. Though they did put a clause in the lease that would let them out if another letter came. Yeah. So 2 weeks after they moved in, Derek went to 657 to deal with some squirrels that had been in the roof. And the renter handed him an envelope that had just arrived.
Oh my God, it's almost like they knew. Oh my God.
And they read, "Violent winds and bitter cold to the violent, spiteful Derek and his wench, to the violent, spiteful Derek and his wench of a wife, Maria." So the letter, 2.5 years after the watcher appeared, came out of nowhere. It was dated February 13th, which was the day that the Broaddus's gave depositions in the lawsuit against the Woods's. So the letter read, "You wonder who the watcher is. Turn around, idiots," the letter read. "Maybe you even spoke to me. One of the so-called neighbours who has no idea who the watcher could be. Or maybe you know and are too scared to tell anyone. Good move." The letter was less stylish and more wrathful than the others, and it seemed that writer had been closely following the story. So, and seen the media coverage, "I walked by the news trucks, and when they took out," the letter continued, "I watched as you watched from the dark house in an attempt to find me. Telescopes and binoculars are wonderful inventions. And the attempt to turn down the house, 657 Boulevard, survives your attempted assault and stood strong, with its army of supporters barricading its gates." The letter read, "My soldiers of the Boulevard following my orders to a T. They carried out their mission and they saved the soul of 657 Boulevard with my orders. All hail the watcher." The renter was mentioned. He was spooked but agreed to stay in the house if the Broaddus's has installed some cameras. I said to do this in the first place.
Yeah, why was that not done from the start?
And the letter started to indicate some form of revenge. So it went on to say, "Maybe a car accident, maybe a fire. Maybe something as simple as a mild illness that never seems to go away but makes you feel sick day after day after day after day after day. Maybe the mysterious death of a pet. Loved ones suddenly die. Planes and cars and bicycles crash. Bones break."
Oh, I don't like that. That's quite violent. That's definitely escalating.
So the Broaddus has continued to press the case, but there wasn't much for law enforcement to go on. So it was possible to look up and down the street and see the watcher as practically anybody.
Yeah. Oh, God. There must be someone close. And also, that kind of indicates that the Watcher maybe was on the board or had influence with someone else who was on the board, because he's kind of implying that they did what they said to save 657 Boulevard. So it's weird. Maybe yeah. It was like the whole weird neighbourhood, you know, like in a coup against this new money family.
Yeah, well, they're still living with this today, kind of, you know.
Oh, God.
So they don't live in the fear of it anymore. But they continue to deal with like lingering effects from the letters. So they've got a new tenant now in 657, but the rent doesn't actually cover the mortgage.
Mm.
And the kids are teased at school over it. And the conspiracy theories run wild on all the whole internet.
Yeah, oh my God, I bet they do.
And when interviewed, most people in the town really think of the Watcher anymore. And the real estate market was doing fine. For one, many were surprised to find out that the Broaduses were actually still dealing with the problem. However, the Watcher is no longer the only person sending anonymous letters in Westfield.
Oh, God.
Last Christmas Eve, several families received an envelope in their mailboxes. They'd been delivered by hand to the homes of the people who had been the most vocal in criticising the Broadus family online. One of them, who lived a few blocks down on the boulevard, had written on Facebook, "I wish we could go back to the days of Tar and Feathers. I had just the couple in mind." Another family who got a letter told me it was weirdly poetic, as the Watcher had been, and it accused the families of speculating inaccuracy about the Broaduses. It included several stories about recent acts of domestic terrorism in which signs of brewing mental illness had gone unnoticed. The type letters were signed Friends of the Broaduses family.
Oh, well, that's weird. What the hell? So is that just the Broaduses doing that, or is that... or is the Watcher doing a double bluff?
Well, people think it's Derek.
Yeah, I mean, probably.
Well, I'll tell you what, it is Derek, because when Derek was asked whether he'd written them, he paused and then admitted that he did.
Oh.
He wasn't proud of it, and he hadn't even told his wife.
Oh, my God!
So that is coming to like full circle there. If Derek's writing them letters, he might have written them to himself.
But do you remember how like Derek was super invested in this? Like he had all the maps and things like that, and he was very invested in this. Why? I think he might have just been like driven to some sort of madness with it.
So there was a fourth and final letter.
Oh.
And it simply read this. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
"You are despised by the house and the Watcher won."
Oh, well, that's true. The Watcher did win.
The Watcher did win.
Oh, my God.
Congrats, Watcher.
Congrats, yeah. Congrats, hun.
I don't like this because it's unsolved.
It is unsolved. I think, okay. What's your main theory? What do you think happened?
I think the Broaduses wrote the letters themselves.
All of them?
Yeah.
Wow. See, now...
I think they were trying to get some money.
Maybe, but it does kind of pan out to me that, I don't know, like, the fact that they didn't actually ever move in. I feel like if you were writing the letters to yourself, you probably would at least move in for a bit, especially when you're paying the bloody mortgage and the taxes on it.
Yeah, but no for a fact.
Maybe, yeah. I don't know. And it seems like it's just massively a lot of stress. I don't know, you know. I think there was some weirdo in the town being a weirdo.
Do you want to know what my actual theory is? So go on, you tell me about your weirdo theory then, and I'll tell you about my final theory that no one's actually talked about.
I just think it was some strange person in the community. Like, they might not even be on anyone's radar, but just some odd person in the community. There could easily be fabrications. This person might not be in their 60s. They could be in the 30s or the 20s. So that's why they haven't popped up on anyone's radar. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it.
But you. I think it is very telling. Like, this person's obsessed with this gorgeous big house. They're obviously really jealous of wealthy people, you know, things like that. Maybe it was someone, another neighbour, who had a housekeeper, and that person had been, you know, like, they'd had a child or something, and then that person had been obsessed with the house across the street, or I don't know, but it was clearly someone who'd been in the house before, you know?
The painter.
Maybe.
So, do you want to know my theory? I think the Watcher is actually a collective of the neighbours.
Oh, so like what I said before, when I was saying maybe it's all the neighbours.
Yeah, coming together.
Yes, yeah, maybe. Because they could all be the Watcher. Happy that, like, they could all be the Watcher.
Especially if it's an older neighbourhood.
Yes.
And now there's all these young, this young family coming in. They don't want kids there.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why they try to target and intimidate the kids. Because imagine if you lived in a nice neighbourhood and then suddenly the kids running around screaming, you'd be fuming, wouldn't you? And you'd like, people get bitchy and things like, oh, well, it lowers the house prices and all this shit.
I think it was probably more because, I don't know, because they talk about them being greedy a lot and things like that. So that's where it inclines me to believe that maybe it was someone who wasn't as wealthy. But if it is a collective, like you're saying, maybe it was more to do with the fact that they were like new money and not old money.
Yeah.
Because probably. That's like a proper like class thing, isn't it? So, yeah.
Well, I'm going to be new money soon.
Yeah. So, I kind of agree with that theory as well. Yeah.
And we'd like to know what you think. So reach out to us on our social medias at Curiously Morbid Pod. On Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. Have we got a Twitter, Danny?
Yeah, we've got Twitter. We're on all the things at Curiously Morbid Pod.
We are. And we've also on Patreon. You can join Patreon from just £5. You can even join from £1, but the good stuff starts at £5 or whatever your valued currency is. There we post exclusive content only for your eyes, and you can even get exclusive merch. Yes, girl.
Yeah, we like the merch. Please come join us on Patreon. It's fun.
Join the Pates. Anyway, join us for a very festive edition of our Freaky Friday. What is it, Danny?
Oh, so on Friday, we're going to be looking into the Yule Cat, which is, I had no idea about this, but it's such a cool thing. I'm not going to say anything else other than we're doing the Yule Cat. It's really fun. I love it.
So make sure you tune in on Friday for that. But in the meantime,
stay curious.
Stay morbid.
This has been an Audio Bear production, and our show tune is Half Mystery by Kevin MacLeod.
Yes, MacLeod! And special thanks to The Cut for letting us use their article under the Fair Usage Act. Thank you very much.